So this last portion on self-observation comes at the very, very end of the lecture, and yet it's very powerful because it lists down in very simple language the hows and whys of how you can find out what your inner attitudes are. And sorry, this is side two or part two of the Patrick presentation on authority, Patrick Guide Lecture 46. So let me start over again. How do you find out what your internal attitudes are? How do you find out if you are in distortion or if perhaps you just need to modify your attitudes a little bit? And what the guide recommends is the primary tool is self-observation. It really is that simple. Now, in the past, I have spent time talking about the process of daily review. So I'll go over that just briefly. Daily review is just about the simplest technique you can come up with to notice patterns in your life that are so subtle or so varied that you don't see them as patterns. And daily review is a matter of keeping a log, keeping a very brief, few words a day diary on the things that happened that day that you're not happy about. So you want to keep it extremely simple. You don't want to write a novel. This is not a place for a journal. You want four items. You want the date. You want the incident, very briefly. You want the feeling you had when it happened and the judgment that you made. And it needs to be so simple that it would sound like this. On Monday, the dog bit me. I was frightened. I think dogs should be put away. Then on Wednesday, the neighbor yelled at me. I felt threatened. I think neighbors should be put away. I'm exaggerating this, but what you're looking for is a pattern over time where your judgment is on a consistent level. Anybody who argues with me or frightens me or makes me feel bad needs to be controlled, put away, condemned, controlled. And what that will tell you is, number one, when you feel cornered or threatened, your response is not to try to understand or figure out what's going on, but to punish or do something to the other person to make it stop. Now, if you're acting this out in your daily life, it's very likely that you're going to get reactions from other people. Because the other thing that is discussed in this lecture is how very, very subtly people pick up on our feelings. If we think that every time you argue with me, you should be condemned or put away or stopped, people get that. They sense that you're not open to a discussion. And they'll either shout louder so they can overcome you, or they might try some other way to get through to you, but they're certainly not being direct. By not being honest and open with people, you drive them to some extent to respond to your very lack of openness. And it is the result of that where you say, I don't have good relationships, I don't have close friendships, I can't seem to find a boyfriend or a girlfriend. People always respond to me in a hostile way. These are the external manifestations that something may not be going well in your life, something may be off. And so what daily review does is it gives you a chance to take a look on a very small, minute level, day to day, what your feelings and reactions are and what your immediate judgments or thought patterns are so that you can begin to see how fierce or draconian or rude or unwilling to listen to the other person you actually are. Now, you may not manifest that to the other person. You may still have a smile on your face, and you may, play games. You may act cooperatively, But what we're talking about here is what was your feeling. So at the end of the day, when you list the number of times in the day when you were upset or felt, the magic word is disharmonious, that's when you might notice that even though you kept a situation pleasant, your inner reality was that you were disturbed by what was going on. You were angry. You felt threatened. You felt fearful. So in terms of self-observation, it's a wonderful tool for finding out what you really think, what the patterns are in your thought and feeling process. So the second thing to notice, so number one, self-observation, and that's a technique for self-observation. The second thing is the guide invites us to notice which type we are, law upholder or law breaker, and under which circumstances, because he's recognizing that we may shift back and forth and be a law upholder at work and a law breaker at home or vice versa. So to figure out what type predominates, or if you go back and forth, where you are, which type. The third invitation from the guide is to notice the reality of where your intellectual thoughts do not match your emotions. Again, daily review is a very good mechanism for this. But beyond daily review and beyond any technique that I can list for you, the most important thing is to be willing to do the self-analysis, to be willing to look at this, to be willing to examine the fact that intellectually I would like to cooperate, but emotionally I hold back. Emotionally, I'm a little afraid of cooperation. Emotionally, I wish I could rebel. I wish I could protest. To notice the disparity between what your mind says and what your emotions are. And this is a very fertile place to find out where you are in discrepancy. And the last, and it's all the same thing, it's just different ways of looking at it, is that with awareness of what is in your life, then you can begin to go back in your memories, go back into childhood, go back into any aspect of your younger life, whatever memories you have that you can use, and start looking for the seeds of the attitude that you now have. And when you go back into these childhood memories, to simply notice without judgment that the authority figures seemed a little threatening. They didn't seem like they were terribly cooperative. To notice that you, I think the phrase was, keep your skirts clean. That you color inside the lines, that you walk on the sidewalk instead of the road. All these phrases that we use for trying to be within what the culture says we ought to be within, to be within the rule. Okay, when that happened in our life, when we're young and perhaps more expressive than we are now, what was our attitude at that time? And if we expressed our attitude, what was the response from the authority figures in our lives? So this is what the guide talks about. Once again, it's only a paragraph or two at the end of the lecture, about self-observation, about methods for figuring out what type you are, where and why, for looking at where your intellect and your emotions don't match up, and also for looking at the memories of your life and figuring out how these attitudes might have developed. Because with this information, you will be able to make change in your life. But like everything else, if you don't know how you got there, then you may not be able to find an effective way to shift an established attitude. So that is basically what's in the lecture on authority. Once again, it's somewhat straightforward and doesn't wander off into too many places. So sometimes when I present a lecture, I'm pulling in four or five other lectures because all these concepts are really necessary. But with this lecture, it feels lovely and straightforward. So I wonder at this point whether there are any questions or contributions that anybody would like to make. If not, it will have been...
Well, it certainly gives you a lot to think about in such a short space of time.
Well, it's a very short space of time, perhaps shorter than we've done before, but every once in a while it's a simpler concept. Is there anybody else who'd like to say anything or contribute anything?
Maybe I will. This is Leah.
Hi, Leah.
Hi. Two things that I noted for myself when I was looking at the lecture. And one is the component of seeking safety when the child wrestle against that barrier, that wall of authority, the underlying the desire is for reaching a place of safety, and that's true for both types. But also it seemed to me that with the description of the two types and the work and the undoing of the distortions in the two types, if we can call it that, the low upholder have an extra level, have an extra, another layer of maybe mask or pretense because of the fear to expose the same original rebelliousness, objection that actually the low breaker has. So to remain safe, the solution is different. The solution is seems to be the opposite side of the spectrum, while the original motivation or drive is the same. So also in the undoing process, the law upholder have another layer of sort of searching for the lower self, maybe if I can use that term, component, the or the objection or the protest. Finding the true protest underneath the seemingly the apparent agreement with the law.
No, it's a good point, and I didn't cover it. Thank you. So it was interesting because I think there's a reason I didn't cover it. And the reason is I hate to pick on the law upholders because I have a prejudice against law upholders.
Oh, gosh, I thought that.
Yeah. And even though I do try to uphold law, I personally have such a strong rebellious streak that I felt that in the presentation, if I started emphasizing more about the law upholder, it would sound like I was weighting it, where they were less good than the lawbreaker. So I find it interesting that I think that's why I didn't balance the lecture the way the guide balanced the lecture. So thank you for bringing that forward, because I wasn't holding, probably wasn't holding a clean balance, and that's a really good example of the subtlety of how one's attitude about the two types can influence even how they talk about it. So what I appreciate your bringing up is the key word of safety, that the law upholder is looking for safety. I believe that the lawbreaker is also looking for safety, but of a different type.
Right.
Safety, they perceive safety in freedom, whereas the law upholder sees freedom as dangerous.
Right, and to not complicate things, but it, just to make a comment here, that probably that seeking of safety is probably connecting to seeking safety versus seeking love.
Yes.
You know, I want to be approved, so I'll uphold the law and align myself with authority, so you'll love me.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, if I'll obey the law, I'll be annihilated. So that's where I, you know, my freedom is perceived as safety or life versus death.
Right. So I think it does break down into lawbreakers tend to be more will than love types.
Right.
And the law upholders, although they're using will to stay connected,
mm-hmm.
rather than to exercise their will independently.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to throw anything else in, or...?
It makes me want to go back and reread the lecture now. I'm glad for this input.
Mm-hmm. That's great. To some extent, the reason for these presentations is to interest people in the lectures. And sometimes people are interested in hearing it discussed. They don't have further interest. I accept that as, you know, we all have the right to do that. Sometimes it becomes so intriguing, you do go take a look at them. So I'm glad to hear that. Anyone else have anything they want to throw in the pot? Well, sounds like we're done extra early today.
Well, I want to say thank you, Jen.
You're welcome.
It is very, very, very beautifully, clearly set, you know, in those bullet points, and it helps map the message of the lecture. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you for the compliment.
Thanks, Jan.
You're very welcome, Harry.
Thank you, Dan.
You're very welcome, Fran. Mm-hmm. All right, well, I've enjoyed it, and hopefully we'll try this again in December.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.